بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
حميم.
حميم.
تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم.
This is a revelation from the most merciful, the most compassionate.
كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون.
A book whose verses have been well expounded, an Arabic Quran for those who have knowledge.
بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون.
One bearing good news and warning, yet most of them turned away and are not wont to give heed. One bearing good news and warning. This is a brief introduction to the surah. Were one to carefully reflect over the discourse that follows, it will become clear how closely interlinked the introductory statement and the later discourse are. The first point emphasized is that the Quran is revelation from God, notwithstanding the unbeliever's parrot-like cry that it is the product of the Prophet's own mind. The plain fact is that it was sent down by none other than God. Implicit in this is the warning that if the unbelievers resent the fact that it was revealed, their resentment is in fact not directed against the Prophet, peace be upon him, but it is directed against God himself. If the unbelievers reject the Quran, they're not rejecting the word of Muhammad, peace be upon him, but God's own word. The one they are contemptuously turning away from is thus God, and not another human being. Another truth enunciated here is that the one who caused the Quran's revelation is most compassionate and merciful towards his creatures. This pointed reference to God's compassion and mercy conveys the idea that the Quran was revealed as a necessary corollary of his mercy and compassion. By means of this observation, the unbelievers are told that if they pay no heed to the Quran, or reject it, or raise their eyebrows at it, they will court their own ruin. The Quran is an immense bounty that God has bestowed out of his abundant grace upon mankind for their welfare and guidance. Had God been indifferent to human beings' well-being, he could have left them to grope about in darkness with indifference to the calamitous end that might meet them because of the non-availability of adequate guidance. However, the fact is that God is much concerned with mankind's welfare. As a result, he not only provided for man's sustenance, but took upon himself the task of providing the knowledge that would set his life on the right course. It is with this end in view that he revealed this book to one of his servants. Now, who would be more thankless and more inimical to himself than he who fails to benefit from this treasure of grace and rises instead in rebellion against it? The third point stressed here is that the verses of the Quran are well expounded. In other words, there is no ambiguity or complication in the Quranic teachings. Hence, no one can excuse himself from not accepting the Quran on the grounds that its contents are incomprehensible. On the contrary, the Quran clearly enunciates what is true and what is false, explains which are the right articles of belief and which are the wrong ones, what are good and what are bad morals, which kind of behavior leads to success and well-being, and which kind of behavior to suffering, loss, and failure. If someone tries to prevent others from accepting such clear and unambiguous guidance or adopts apathy towards it, he has no justifiable excuse for doing so. His attitude simply demonstrates that he wants to persist in error. The fourth point emphasized is that the Quran is an Arabic Quran. What this implies is that had the Quran been delivered in some foreign tongue, the Arabs could have claimed that they were unable to comprehend it, not knowing the language of the book. The Quran, however, was given to them in their own language. Hence, they could not advance the pretext that they cannot understand what it says. The fifth point emphasized is that the Quran is meant for only those who are endowed with knowledge. In other words, only those who have common sense and reason can draw upon it. So, for the ignorant, the Quran is as useless as a precious stone is for those who do not know the difference between a diamond and a piece of rock. The sixth point emphasized is that the Quran announces good tidings as well as deliver warnings. To put it differently, the Quran is not the figment of a rich creative imagination or a philosophical idea or a literary masterpiece whose acceptance or rejection has no practical bearing on human life. On the contrary, the Quran vehemently claims that its acceptance will yield magnificent results and its rejection will lead to horrendous consequences. Only an imbecile can summarily set aside such a book.
وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون.
They say, our hearts are securely wrapped up against what you call us to, and in our ears is a heaviness, and in between you and us there is a veil, so act, we too are acting. They say, our hearts are securely wrapped up against what you call us to. That is, none of the avenues that can carry the Quran to their hearts has been left unused. And in our ears is a heaviness, and in between you and us there is a veil. The unbelievers claimed that the Prophet's message created a wedge between them and him. As a result, it was impossible for the two opposing camps to come to any point of agreement. So act. We too are acting. This carries the following two meanings. One, that the two groups had nothing to do with each other. Two, that if the Prophet, peace be upon him, cannot desist from working for his cause, he may do so. In this case, however, the unbelievers too will not desist from opposing him and will not cease their efforts to reduce his mission to naught.
قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Tell them, O Prophet, I am only a human being like you. It is revealed to me that your God is one God, so direct yourselves straight to Him and seek His forgiveness. Woe to those who associate others with Allah in His divinity. Tell them, O Prophet, I am only a human being like you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, made it clear that it did not lie in his power to remove the coverings that had sealed their hearts, or to restore hearing to their deaf ears, or to tear down the barriers they had erected between themselves and him. After all, he was merely a human being. He can drive home his point only to those who are prepared to pay attention, communicate his message only to those who are prepared to listen, and can meet and explain things only to those who care to meet him. It is revealed to me that your God is one God. Even if they seal their hearts and make their ears deaf to the truth, this will not change the fact that there is only one true God and that human beings are His born servants. This is not a philosophical doctrine invented by the Prophet, peace be upon him, after due thought and reflection. Had that been the case, there was clearly the possibility its being either right or wrong. However, what the Prophet, peace be upon him, was communicating to people was the truth that had been disclosed to him through revelation, and hence was immune from error. So direct yourselves straight to Him. The unbelievers are asked not to take aught as God, or to serve and worship aught but God, nor to invoke others than God to come to their aid. Likewise, they are required not to bind themselves to the unreserved obedience or anyone other than God, nor to consider any custom or usage, any law or regulation which is devoid of God's sanction as necessarily binding upon them. And seek His forgiveness. That is, they should seek God's forgiveness for the disloyalty they had shown Him, for the polytheism, disbelief, and disobedience of which they had been guilty.
الذين لا يؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون.
who do not pay zakah, and who deny that hereafter, who do not pay zakah. The Quranic commentators differ in their opinions as regards what zakah means here. Ibn Abbas and his distinguished students, Ikrama and Mujahid, believe that the word zakah here denotes the purity of self one attains by dint of subscribing to monotheism and obeying God. Tabari, Tafsir, comments on Surah Hamim al-Sajda 41:7. Taken in this sense, the meaning would be as follows. Woe to the associators with Allah in His divinity who fail to attain self-purification. However, Qatada, Sudi al-Hasan, al-Basri, Dahak, Muqatil and Ibn al-Sa'ib interpret zakah in the usual sense of paying obligatory alms from one's wealth. Tabari Tafsir comments on Surah Hamim al-Sajda 41:7. In their opinion, the verse conveys the message that those who associate others with God and His divinity and do not pay zakah, thereby depriving their fellow human beings of their due, are doomed to destruction.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم أجر غير ممنون.
As to those who have faith and do good works, surely theirs shall be a never-ending reward. As to those who have faith and do good works, surely theirs shall be a never-ending reward. Those who have faith and do good are promised a never-ending reward. This expression admits of two meanings. One, that the reward will never decrease. Two, that none will discomfort the recipients of the reward by offensively impressing that its grant was an act of favor. This is so unlike the grudging grant of a gift made by a miser who never ceases to rub the fact that a favor has been granted to the gift's recipient.